All right, let's continue. So we're now holding in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. We're speaking in the different psich. Again, the Chafetz Chaim very much wants us to get the feeling and to get the impression that the Isser and the prohibition of Lashon Hara is so chomer. It's not just you're over on one time you speak alav of Loiseilech Rachel. There's so many other elements, so many other prohibitions that are included in the Isser of Lashon Hara beyond the Isser of just don't, that says the Torah, don't speak Lashon, don't gossip, don't speak Lashon Hara.
Did I just say Lashon Hara?
Anyway, the point is that for example, he said before that when someone speaks Lashon Hara, you're Mechal Hashem Shamayim. When someone speaks Lashon Hara, they're over on the Isser of Leisikoim, Leisitor, of, let's say, of retribution. Another prohibition, if someone speaks Lashon Hara, listen, do you speak Lashon Hara between you and by yourself, or, you know, you and between one person and another, you know, on a more individual level? That's for sure, Aser. But someone who goes and joins a group of Bali Lashon Hara, right? You have outside the shul, the back of the shul, more often than not, Lashon Hara. It's funny, the Lashon Hara is never in the front of the shul. It's always in the back of the shul, right? What's Pshat? It's where the bums hang out. That's where the Bali Lashon Hara, the Leitzanim sit down and they discuss. That's the of a Moshev Leitzim. Where people speak Lashon Hara, it's the idea is that they don't like to just speak it privately. They like to often speak it in a group setting. And says the Halakha about L'Chavetz Chaim that someone who speaks Lashon Hara in a group, even just to sit there and to listen to what the group is talking about. This is also transgressing prohibition. That one shall not follow a group towards evil. If you're joining a group and that group is Lashon Hara, that by definition means that you've followed it. So now we're up to how many? Four Lavin at this point? Four or five Lavin? It could be, I've already lost count at this point. He's trying to show you again that Lashon Hara isn't just a one-time thing. You said Lashon Hara. A person does an Avera, the Torah says, you know, you shouldn't eat not kosher, I eat not kosher. So I'm over in that lav. Maybe two or three times the Torah mentions it, so two Lavin. But when you speak Lashon Hara, it's not just one lav. It's not just two lav. It's so many things that are so interdependent and so intertwined with the Isser Lashon Hara that it just you end up falling into a whole big pit of averus. It's a person has to realize it's not just a simple word. Yes.
Just the fact that you say the words, like, what if the person, there's nobody around, let's say, and the person didn't hear you, but it's still an avera.
You spoke it, whether or not somebody heard it, it's still Lashon Hara.
Even the person that was directed at.
Correct.
Say, such and such a person, but nobody was there.
Yeah, speaking behind someone's back, or where they're not aware, for sure. Miriam, when she spoke Lashon Hara, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't necessarily aware of what was going on.
Aaron was there.
You're saying if anybody heard it, you're saying just talk by yourself?
But
there's still an issue to speak.
I would think so.
There's still an issue to speak.
Hashem
right? Yeah, there you go. There you go. That someone who speaks Lashon Hara and then also ends up actually holding a grudge and maintains an argument. Let's say you have an argument, you have a fight with somebody, and you're oftentimes the way you speak negatively about someone, it keeps the fight going, it keeps the embers flaming, it keeps the emotions still there. Then someone who even stays in that through these telling over of gossip is over oid, and this is very negated to this week's parasha, alav on the prohibition of lo yiyeh kekorech ukaadosoi. That one is not allowed to be like Korach and his members, who also kept and maintained machlekes against Moshe Rabbeinu. She was harashali lahachzik machlekes k'deisa b'sanhedrin. As we see the Gemara Sanhedrin, that it's also to be machzik machlekes. It's a very funny thing. I mean, Korach v'adasi, they had a shita. Right? They had a full fledged theological explanation as to why they held the way they held. It doesn't matter. The fact that a person can have justifications for what they hold, everybody has justifications. Okay, everybody has justifications. But justifications aren't a pater. It doesn't stop you from having to think internally and saying, well, are my justifications true or not? Unfortunately, when it came to Korach v'Adasa, the very fact they didn't stop for 2 seconds to even think internally, was he correct or incorrect? That's a very sad thing. Because if he had thought about it, he would have held back. And I'll show you why. I'll tell you some old Vartar. It says that Rashi quotes a Medrash Tanchuma, that says, Ma Korach was a pikeach. He was a smart man. Ma ra lohel chishtos zu. Why did he go out for this ridiculousness to go against Moshe Rabbeinu? He was a smart individual. He understood who Moshe Rabbeinu was, who Aaron HaKohen were. How in the world could they fall into such a crazy trap? Zok the Medrash, ki ra shel sheles zahav gedoyle sheyatzim menu. He saw shel sheles, a great line of genealogy come out of him. Who is that great descendant to come out of him? Shmuel, who's shakul keneged Moshe Aaron, who was weighed, as the Torah says, k'moshe v'Aaron yuli. That Shmuel was literally the same level, almost in a sense, of Aaron and Moshe combined. That's how great Shmuel was. And who was Shmuel's great grandfather? Korach. So how in the world could Korach have thought this? Because he said, I have such a great descendant coming out of me. I must be right. So I have two questions on this. On this exact, I have two questions on this measure. We'll get the point across. But it's a very important nekuda. What in the world is Korach thinking? Why? The fact that Shmuel is his grandchild and Shmuel's great, that only says one thing, that Shmuel is great. It doesn't say anything about Korach, that Korach is great necessarily. You're right, fine, we could say that if this is the grandchild, then can you imagine who the grandfather was? We have such an idea. But all the pasuk is telling me that Shmuel is shakul keneged Moshe v'Aaron is how great Shmuel is. There's no raya that Korach is great. That's question number one. So how does Korach pull out from that a proof that, I am greater than Moshe v'Aaron and I have to fight against them? That's number one. And question number two, which I think is even the most difficult question, which Korach doesn't have an answer for, which is, very nice, you're telling me that Shmuel is great. And how do I know Shmuel is great? Because he's shakul, because he's compared to Moshe v'Aaron. He's weighed just as heavily as Moshe v'Aaron was. But Dov, let me ask you a question. How do I know that Shmuel is great? Because you're using who to compare Moshe v'Aaron. But what's Korach's entire argument? That Moshe v'Aaron are liars. Shabodu mitzvahs milibon. That Moshe v'Aaron made up halachas. That they're rishoyim. The Gemara speaks about the Medrash goes through a whole explanation. Exactly. The Medrash goes whole explanation of how great Moshe and Aaron were, how the things apologize, how terrible Korach and the gossip that was being told about Moshe and Aaron were. They were horrible individuals. And yet somehow he's saying that, how do I know Shmuel's great? Because Shekel can't get Moshe and Aaron. But the whole reason that you know that Shmuel is great is because it's compared to Moshe and Aaron. But if you hold that Moshe and Aaron is not good, then the whole raya of Shmuel is upgefrecht, as they say in Yiddish. The whole entire raya is totally falls apart. An Eisen Akasha? Yeah? An Eisen Akasha?
Yeah, this
Kasha
led you as well. It's still
a Kasha,
yes.
It's an Eisen Akasha, right?
Hold on.
I'm going to give you the answer. I'll give you the answer like this. The answer is like this. Is that vice to chois? When a person has a negia, when a person has a bias, they can't see facts straight. The facts become totally twisted. They don't see facts normally. Whatever's in front of them, it gets morphed to what they want to see. That's how negiyas work. And a person has to be self-aware to understand how they are seeing reality. So fine, a person can say, I have reasons to hate what I hate. I have good reasons. But it doesn't pot you from thinking internally and to think critically. Am I thinking properly or not? So just because you have good reasons and you could put together an argument as to why you hold the way you hold, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be thinking about, well, maybe I'm wrong. A little bit of healthy self-doubt. That's what Ovid Hashem has to think. Okay. So this is an akuda. The akuda is when a person speaks Lashon Hara Barabim or in a Chabura and holds in a machlekes, even if theoretically they have every reason in the world to hold that machlekes, but maybe creeping a little bit of self-doubt that maybe, you know what, maybe it's worthwhile. What would happen if I actually did apologize? What would happen to me if I was able to hold back and maybe change the cycle and maybe actually make shalom with the person? Otherwise, you're going to be like Korach v'Hadassah. And just like Korach v'Hadassah didn't stop for 2 seconds and be self-critical and say, you know what, maybe I'm wrong here and maybe they're right. Even that thought. And you may end up coming out at the end of the day saying, Tuck, I am right and they're wrong. But at least you asked the question. Unfortunately, not many people are holding at this level.